It's good to see everybody. I know we have some guests in the house this morning, so my name is Terry Deaver. I'm one of the pastors here at Real Life. As Tristan mentioned earlier, she and Easton and Corey and Andrea and Trent have been gone on a two-week whirlwind tour for Drawings by Trent, and they got back last night. So you're stuck with me this morning. You know, as I this morning when I was doing some reflecting and thinking and just going over sermon notes and looking at my notes and wondering what I was thinking when I wrote it, put them down, I came across a post by a friend of mine who has a terminal illness, and it just struck me. We're going to be talking about prayer this morning, and so I wanted to begin by sharing what he said. He said, God's sovereignty doesn't negate our responsibility. It empowers it. So don't let whatever your crisis is paralyze you. Trust God to do what you can't. Obey God and do what you can. You know, that struck me because one of the things that's been going on in my life is I've been experiencing some physical difficulties of my own. And even as I stand up here this morning, I'm experiencing some just a little bit of inner difficulty. And so if I decide to sit down or something, you'll understand why. But, you know, God is at work, and we're going to trust him and do what we can. So I'd invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you as we gather in this place this morning that we can come together freely and celebrate our trust and faith and relationship with you. I just pray now, Lord, that each and every one of us would put aside the distractions of the week and come before you and open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say. Not what I have to say, but what you have to say. Help me to get out of your way, Lord, and let you do your work. I pray, Lord, that we can claim your promise that your word will not go forth and return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in Luke chapter 11, the first verse, it says this. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Why, of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus, did they ask him to teach them to pray? They'd seen him preach great sermons. They'd seen him perform numerous miracles. And yet they didn't ask him. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to do miracles. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. I think one of the reasons that they asked Jesus to teach them to pray is because they saw the fruit of his prayer life. They experienced firsthand what his connection was with the Father and how he and the Father communicated. And they wanted that. They really wanted that as part of their life. I want that for part of my life because I know that in my own prayer life, I struggle at times, go through those dry periods when you feel like your prayers aren't going anywhere. And so they saw what Jesus did and how he prayed and how he connected with the Father, and that's what they wanted for their life. So there's nothing more vital to a Christian life than their prayer life. Prayer can change your life. But if you're like me, there are times you struggle. There's some things I want to tell you that prayer is not. Prayer is not a magic wand. It's not something that we pull out and wave around and poof, things happen just the way we want. I often tell people that God answers prayer in four different ways. He says yes sometimes. He says no. He says, not yet. And other times he says, I have a better idea. And so it's not just a magic wand that we pull out and poof, things happen the way we want them to happen. As I was thinking about that, I remember I have five granddaughters, and I think each and every one of my granddaughters has gone through their magic wand stage. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they, Grandpa, see my magic wand? It does wonderful things. And they do poof, and they want you to do things and produce things for them that you really can't. But they all went through their magic wand phase. And, maybe in our prayer life, sometimes we go through a magic wand phase when we expect God just to do things when we ask him. So prayer is not a magic wand. Secondly, prayer is not a first aid kit. And by that, I mean, we don't pray just when we have a difficult situation. We don't just pray in the face of an emergency. We don't just pray when we're desperate. We don't just use it in case of emergency. We pray in emergency, yes. If you're in the midst of a difficulty and you're in the midst of an emergency, I would encourage you to pray, yes. But we need to be praying all the time, every day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. You know, one of the things I've noticed about having an emergency kit in my car, I don't know about you, but you have a number of things in your emergency kit, and one of those things is a flashlight. And you have a difficulty and it's dark, and you go to your emergency kit and you pull out your flashlight, and what's the problem? Batteries are dead. Yeah, we don't look at the emergency kit until we need it, and then all of a sudden the batteries are dead and it's not of use to us. That's kind of the way it is with our prayer life. When we only approach God in the face of an emergency, our prayer life isn't very cultivated and isn't very, it just doesn't work the way we want it to work. And so I encourage you, pray every day. I know it's difficult sometimes, it's difficult for me at times, but pray every day. Seek the Lord and allow Him to speak to you, and God will do great things in our lives. Thirdly, prayer is not a tug of war. It's not a game where we try to get God to do things. We say, well, God, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. And go back and forth playing this tug of war. You know, have you ever competed in a tug of war? It's difficult. It's a struggle. And two different teams get on either side of the rope and start pulling back and forth. And all of a sudden, one little bitty slip and the whole team ends up in a mud pit, right? Well, that can happen to us if we get in a tug of war with God and God doesn't do what we want. We can find ourselves in a mud pit feeling sorry for ourselves. And so prayer isn't a tug of war with God. God wants to hear our prayer, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But He doesn't want to have a tug of war with us. He wants our heart, and He wants us to trust Him and to come to Him with our prayer. And lastly, prayer is not a religious duty. It's not just a religious duty. You know, Muslims have prayer 5 times a day, right? That's a religious duty for them, and they follow that religiously, so to speak. And so we could take an example from them and pray more often during the day, but it is not a religious duty that God calls us to. It is about a relationship. It's not that I say to myself, oh, I should pray about this, I ought to pray about this, or I'm going to be on God's bad list if I don't pray about this, but it is about a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's why the disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, because they saw the relationship that Jesus had with His Heavenly Father. So this morning I want to spend the rest of our time talking about what prayer is. First of all, prayer is dedication. Prayer is where I express my devotion to God. It's where I express my dependence on God. You know, I think for a lot of us, we often don't feel very dependent on God because life is good, right? When things are going well and job's going well and the family's going well and things are just clicking along, we don't feel very dependent on God because we really don't need Him. Or at least we feel like we don't need Him. So, you know, one of the things that I say to myself, ever since Adam and Eve, humans have greatly overestimated our ability to handle life by ourselves. We've greatly overestimated our ability to handle life, and we are dependent upon God. You know, if you ever see a deep sea diver and they jump into the water and go down far, far into the water, they have a lifeline, and that lifeline is an air hose. That air hose is their support system. It's their connection to life. And so it is with Jesus. He is our connection to life. In John chapter 15, He says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. You know, if we get disconnected from our vine, if we get disconnected from Jesus, from the Father, then our spiritual life begins to dry up. And so we are very much definitely dependent on God. Even if we don't recognize it, we are dependent on Him. And so dedication, Devotion and dependence are all a part of our prayer life. Dedication to God, devotion to God, and dependence on God are all a part of the reason that you and I need to seek after our prayer life and to pray without ceasing and to pray each and every day. Secondly, prayer is communication. You know, in our lives, most of our problems are brought about by poor communication, aren't they? If we have a difficulty with our wife, if I have a difficulty with my wife, it's usually because we don't communicate well or we aren't communicating well. If you watch the plot of most movies and stories on TV, is there's a difficulty with communication. And so we need to communicate with God, because communication is where we build relationship. It's where we come to an understanding of one another. I always tell people, if there's no difficulty, then we don't ever get to the truth. We never get under the surface. So as we begin to communicate with one another, we learn the truth and we begin to know one another better. And the same is true in our relationship with God. As we communicate with Him, we get to know Him better and understand what His heart's desire is. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute as well. In John 15:15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So Jesus is Jesus wants relationship with us. He doesn't want to relate with us as slaves. He wants to relate with us as friends. And friends communicate with one another. And Jesus desires for us to communicate with Him. And part of the time, He expects us to sit quietly and listen for Him to communicate with us. I think we oftentimes fail to recognize the privilege that you and I have of talking with God. I really do think we fail to recognize the privilege. This morning I was thinking, what if I was able to arrange it for you to speak to anybody you wanted? Anybody you wanted, say it's President Trump or some actor or some actress or some sports star. Who would you want to speak to if I could arrange for you to speak to anybody that you want? Well, I want you to know that a greater invitation than to speak to anybody on the face of the earth is to communicate with your Heavenly Father. That's a greater invitation by far than to speak to any human being, no matter how famous and powerful they are on the face of the earth. And so prayer is communication. It's dedication and it's communication. And thirdly, prayer is supplication, which means we bring our needs, our requests to God, and we ask Him for guidance. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Philippians chapter 4. And every time I read it, I think to myself, well, it's easy to read and easy to say, but it's very difficult to do. And this is what Paul says: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so Paul directly tells us to bring your requests to God with thanksgiving. Lay them down there at the foot of the cross and let God know what's on your heart and what's on your mind. Ask Him for guidance. And then the Bible says, the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what I want for my life. That first part is where he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing is the hard part for me, because I tend to be a worrier and I want to hold on to things and I want to make sure things go the way I want them to go. So I want control. But that's not what it's about. It's about releasing it to God and letting Him have control. It's about trusting Him and doing what we can and allowing Him to do what we can't. That's what it's all about. In James chapter 4, the second verse, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask." So there again, James is encouraging us, bring your request to the Lord. Let Him know what's on your heart and what's on your mind. Now, the question that comes to my mind is this: does that mean I can have anything I want? If I bring my requests and my supplications to the Lord, if I ask, can I have anything that I want? Well, I want to nuance that just a little bit. In Psalm 37, the fourth verse, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." So we delight ourselves in the Lord, which means we come to know God and understand him. And as we come to know God and understand him and delight ourselves in our relationship with him, our will, our desires become more in line with his. And we begin to pray in the way that God wants us to pray and to pray for those things that God wants us to pray for. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So in that verse, Paul first of all calls us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Or in other words, Paul calls us to have a relationship with God that goes very deep. And we begin to have an understanding of who God is. And as we have that understanding of who God is and how his heart works, then we begin to let our mind be transformed. And as our mind is transformed, our desires and our prayers come into line with what God desires and what God wants for us. And then in Psalm 84:11, he says, "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." So as we walk uprightly, we begin to seek after what God wants. I know that's kind of repetitious, but I want you to understand that we can't get just anything that we want. We say, "Oh, God, just give me $1 million and everything will be good." You know, God's not going to do that. He wants us to pray in line with his desires and his will and what's not only best for us, but what's best for the world, what's best for the people around us. What kind of example am I going to be? What kind of example are you going to be as we seek the Lord in prayer and allow him to change us from the inside out? And so dedication and communication lead to desires that are in line with God's will. What if you were out swimming and you got too far from the shore and you couldn't get back and someone threw you a lifeline? Do you pull the shore to you or do you pull yourself to the shore? Do we pull the shore to us or do we pull ourselves to the shore? We don't pull the shore to us. We pull ourselves to the shore. And that's kind of the way it is in our prayer life. As we seek after God, we come more alongside him. We don't pull God to where we are. God pulls us to where he is. And then finally, prayer is cooperation. When we pray, we are in cooperation with God. We team up with God to accomplish his work. In John 14:12, Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." So the question is, do you see yourself doing greater things than Jesus? How can you and I do greater things than Jesus did when he was on the face of the earth? Well, the answer is through prayer. We can do greater things than Jesus through prayer. When Jesus was on earth, he voluntarily limited himself to be in one place at one time and to interact with the people that were around him. As God, he is omnipresent. We know that. But as Jesus, as he walked on the face of the earth, he voluntarily limited himself to time and space. But I want you to understand that prayer is not limited by time. Prayers that I prayed years ago are still before the Father, and they are there before him, and he hears them, and he understands them, and he knows them. Those prayers that I prayed years ago, God may even answer even yet today. And prayer is not limited by space. You and I can be sitting here this morning and be praying for people who are in Tanzania right now. So prayer is not limited by time or space. Prayer is limitless in scope. People can reject our appeals, they can reject our arguments, they can reject our advice, they can reject us as persons, but they can't stop us from praying for them, can they? They can't stop us from praying for them. So prayer is limitless in scope. Someone once said, "Who will be the heroes in heaven?" Well, the heroes in heaven will be all those unknown people who have prayed and prayed and prayed and sought God's face and lifted people up before the Lord. D.L. Moody said this, "Every great movement of God can be traced to a single praying, kneeling figure. Every great revival that's happened across the world has been brought about through prayer. The church was born in a prayer meeting, and so prayer is vital to the life of the church. Prayer is vital to the life of the Christian, and prayer is where God calls us to his face and lets us see him and know what he's up to and what he's about and what he wants us to do. So I challenge you this morning to be a praying person. I challenge us to be a praying church. I challenge us to be committed, to be in tune with God, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to be enthusiastic in our prayer life, to be growing in our prayer life each and every day, seeking after God. If we seek him, he will draw near to us and he will begin to speak to us and lead us and guide us to where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do and even help inform our prayer life so that we are in line with what God's will is. So what are you missing in your life right now because you have failed to ask? I would encourage you to ask. Whatever it is that you're missing right now because you've failed to ask, I would encourage you to ask. I know in my own life there are things that I feel like I want or need from God, and I find it difficult to ask. But ask. We just need to bring ourselves to that point and say, God, I'm humbling myself before you, and I'm asking you for whatever it is that's on your heart. And seek his face, and he will answer your prayers. I really want to impress upon you that God wants us to come to him daily in prayer and to make our requests known to him. And then that's when we begin to experience his peace. One other thing that I want to mention this morning is that here at the church we have a care team. Now that's a small group of people who receive prayer requests from the church body, and we share those prayer requests among that small group, and we pray for those requests that come across. And the other thing that the care team does is at the end of each service, we offer the opportunity for you to go back to the family room, which is the second door on the left down the hall across from the bathrooms, and there will be people from our care team there to pray with you or just to talk with you or whatever's on your heart. And so I would just encourage you right now, if you are in need of prayer and you want to talk with someone, to get up and make your way back to the family room across from the restrooms, and there will be someone there who will pray with you, who will talk with you. They won't look down on you. They won't judge you in any way. We are simply there to pray with you and for you and to listen to what's on your heart. And the other thing that I would encourage you is if you get to church a little bit early, there's a group of us that gather at 9:30 back in that same room and pray for the church and pray for the services and pray for you as you're coming into the sanctuary this morning. I always pray, God, I pray for every person who enters this building today that their hearts and minds will be open to hear what you have to say to them this particular day. I also find it important to pray for the praise band. I pray for the praise band. I say, God, help the praise band as they prepare our hearts to receive the word, because that's really what the praise band is about. It's not about entertaining us. It's about preparing our hearts to receive the word. And so if you have questions about the care team, I just encourage you to stop me and ask me about it, or Corey, and ask him about it, and we can get you connected with that group if you're interested, or we can just give you more information about what that group does. And I really would encourage you to begin thinking about what's going on in your life and where you need prayer. And at the end of the service, there's no judgment, and nobody's going to think anything if you get up and go back to the prayer room and let people pray with you. I would just really encourage you to begin to take advantage of that. It's a great opportunity to touch base with folks who are concerned for you and will pray for you. And you know, it'll be a small group, but we share those requests with one another, and it stays within that circle. Nothing goes outside of that circle. And so I just want to encourage you to make that a part of your life if it hasn't been a part of your life up to this point. So I would ask you to pray for our church. I'd ask you to pray for our ministry, to pray for our missionaries, to pray for our country, to pray for other leaders around the world, to pray for yourself, to pray for your family, to pray for anything that's on your heart. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. There's nothing too small to bring before God. He is concerned about your life, and he wants you to come to him and to lay before him what's on your heart and mind. So let's pray this morning. Lord, first of all, I ask that you teach us to pray. Lord, speak into our hearts and minds and teach us to pray. We thank you for calling us your friend and wanting to have a relationship with us. We thank you that the Father hears us when we call out. We thank you that he answers when we pray. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand more and more what it means to have a relationship with you. I pray now for each and every person who's gathered in this building, that, Lord, if there's a need that's on their heart, that you would bring that forth and that you would answer that prayer. I pray, Lord, if there are someone who needs to go back to the prayer room and to just request prayer, that they'd be brave enough to stand up and walk out and just go back to that prayer room. And to know that there's no judgment, there's no thought about anything that is on their mind or on their heart. And really, Lord, there's nothing that will surprise the prayer team. And so I just encourage people to take advantage of that. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless us as we go forth from this place. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I just remembered the folks down in Texas and all of those folks who have swept away in those floodwaters. Lord, we pray for those families. We lift them to you. We pray, God, that you'd bring comfort and that you'd bring strength. We pray for the first responders, that you'd give them all they need, Lord, to find survivors. And we pray for those families, Lord. What a tragedy. What a difficulty. And we just pray now, Lord, that you, your Holy Spirit would be at work among all those people who have lost loved ones, all those people who are down there working right now. And we just thank you for what you're going to do in their midst. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. No, we have announcements, don't we?